Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Ride Out Politics. This is Ariana Mendez, your host, coming to you from Miami, Florida. Hope you guys are having an awesome December and had a great November. I know I did, enjoyed lots of turkey. We took a bit of a break, but we're back at it. So on today's episode, we want to introduce a new segment called News You Should Know. Just some news that I think are important for us to be aware of to shape our discussion in the main segment. So without further ado, let's jump into that. This is News You Should Know by Ride Owl Politics. On Wednesday, December 9th, U.S. deaths surpassed 3,000 for the first time since the virus took hold in the United States, and a record 106,000 are hospitalized. This signifies a 20% increase in hospitalizations in just 2 weeks. 10 counties in California reported having no intensive care unit beds on Wednesday. In Operation Warp Speed, the White House response to the pandemic urged Americans to continue masking and practice social distancing. Now, some good news. The FDA has approved the Pfizer vaccine and giving its green light, so we could be having the first vaccines distributed next week. On another front, on the entertainment front, Disney Plus reached a new milestone, hitting 86.8 million paid subscribers in the United States. Disney Plus will increase its rates on a monthly basis to $7.99 in 2021, up a dollar from $6.99. And First Lady Melania Trump introduced earlier this month her new tennis pavilion, which is a project that included the refurbishment of the White House tennis court and the Grand Children's Garden. Liberals attacked the pavilion as Melania's Marie Antoinette moment, but it's a lovely building, white, in the same theme and style as the White House exterior architecture. So a very nice building, but nevertheless attacked by the liberals on this. So that is just news you should know for this week. And with that, we'll jump into the main segment. Okay, Texas. You've heard about it, right? It's been in the news this week. Texas filed a lawsuit against the four battleground states of Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And they're really going after these states. And this is actually quite an interesting development. U.S. Supreme Court, as most of you know, has original jurisdiction over controversies between two or more states. So obviously, this is right up the Supreme Court's jurisdiction. So there's been a lot of talk about this case in the news this week, whether it has any chance of actually proceeding, whether it has any chance of being actually heard by the Supreme Court. So there's a lot to digest here, but this is definitely the Hail Mary of the defend the vote or the Trump push to invalidate the results in the four battleground states of Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. So this is basically the last shot, and I'm saying this as a Republican, but this is legitimately the last shot that the president has to try to invalidate those results in those states. So it's a lot to digest. There's a lot of moving parts. Soon after their initial filing, Texas was joined, via amicus curiae, by 17 other states, arguably all red states, that came in supporting the Texas suit. And I believe now around three or four states have asked to be co-plaintiffs in the suit as well. So it's been a full regalia of Republicans coming out in support. You have over 100 GOP congressmen and women supporting the lawsuit as well and signing their name to that lawsuit in the U.S. Supreme Court against these four battleground states. So it is significant. Whoever tells you it is not is trying to deceive and manipulate. It is significant. Yes, these states have standing, and whoever says that these states don't have standing, obviously not a constitutional scholar, has had no appreciation or understanding of Article 3, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution. So definitely well within their rights as a state to challenge. That's not an issue. It's whether the arguments being made are sufficient to overturn the results there. Now, it's important to note that Texas is essentially saying that the four states' elections were unconstitutional and therefore invalid. The complaint goes into great detail to describe what happened in each state, which I think it's helpful because in the past few weeks since the election, there has been a lot of talk about Trump not having concrete evidence of voter fraud in these four states. So the complaint actually goes into great detail what happened in each state and what were the irregularities that invalidate the electoral votes, or I should say election results. So it's interesting that Texas does a very impressive job of doing something that the president has struggled to do for the last few weeks. And at a global level, Texas is trying to point out, well, these issues will likely be repeated in future elections if not addressed now. So there is definitely a public policy argument being made in that brief. Now, what is specifically Texas asking for? It's asking that Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin conduct new elections to determine their electors for the Electoral College. Now, this would be unprecedented, uncharted territory. And it's very thorough, and I really want to go into specifically what they're alleging happened in each of these states. Like Pennsylvania, it accuses the Secretary of State, Kathy Buchvar, of, among other things, without legislative approval, unilaterally abrogating Pennsylvania statutes that require signature verification for absentee or mail-in ballots. And Texas argues these changes were not ratified by the Pennsylvania legislators, so were therefore unconstitutional. In Georgia, the complaint describes how Georgia's Secretary of State, also without legislative approval, unilaterally approved Georgia's statute governing the signature verification process for absentee ballots and violated that statute. And in Michigan, Texas says the Michigan Secretary of State also abrogated Michigan's election statutes related to absentee ballot applications and signature verifications. And finally, in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Elections Commission made similar changes in state laws without the permission of the legislator, according to Texas. And these changes weakened or did away with established security procedures put in place by the Wisconsin legislature to ensure absentee ballot integrity. So they actually list it out. And according to Texas, these amendments to states' duly enacted election laws violated the Electors Clause of the Constitution, which vests state legislators with plenary authority regarding the appointment of presidential electors. So this is going to the heart of Article 2, and it's very interesting legal arguments being made in this complaint. So if you're still a bit confused, essentially, in other words, while the state legislators have the authority to set the rules for presidential elections in their state, and thus could have made all these changes if they wanted to, other government officials in those states, including judges, did not have the constitutional authority to make these changes. So that's basically Texas' argument. Now, the complaint also goes into, like I said, some irregularities that concern outsiders in those four states of how voters were not treated equally. That, especially in the case of Pennsylvania, they set up a cure process for voters in those jurisdictions whose absentee ballots did not comply with the state legal requirements. Those non-compliant ballots should have been rejected. And in most cases, they were not. They were actually counted. And the Texas argument is that as a result of that and similar behavior in other states, there was a more favorable treatment allotted to votes in areas administered by local government under Democrat rule. Again, that's a very, very heavy accusation to lodge. But nonetheless, Texas lays it out quite well in their brief. And finally, Texas argues that the states violated the substantive due process requirements because their election practices, through both intentional failure to follow election law as enacted by their state legislator, as well as unauthorized acts by state election officials and other designees in local government, reached the point of patent and fundamental unfairness. The states, quote, acted unconstitutionally to lower their election standards with the express intent to favor their candidate for president, end quote. So this is a lot. Texas is now having a lot of criticism being lodged against it as this simply being. And I can't reiterate this enough. Like, Texas is facing a lot of criticism as this being purely a politically motivated suit. But there's something there more than just political motivation. If you actually read the complaint and you read the allegations and you read the constitutional arguments, there's merit here, and these are issues that have not been historically litigated. And it's interesting that Texas is asking that the legislators in these four states be directed to appoint a new set of presidential electors in a manner that does not violate the Electors Clause in the 14th Amendment, or to appoint no presidential electors at all. It's quite an extraordinary measure that they're asking for. And I think that this is why this case has the best hope to even be heard by the Supreme Court. So this is definitely a very much a Hail Mary pass. And I cannot emphasize this enough. Honestly, from a legal tactician standpoint, this should have been done way sooner. The problem is that when you're trying to question the legitimacy of an election, and we saw this in Bush versus Gore, time is not on your side if you're the person in questioning the results. Because as people become complacent, aware, comfortable with the idea of a transition of power, with an idea of a change of party, with the idea of a new person in the White House, it's very hard later on to even change that perception, because it becomes almost insurmountable because people have already become comfortable with the idea. So my thoughts are simple on this. I'm glad it's happening. I am pretty sure the U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments on this case, considering the arguments being made by Texas, the number of states that have joined in as plaintiffs, and the number of states that have filed amicus curiae in this case. So I think it will be heard. Will it be successful? I'm going to be honest, I'm not holding my breath. I think that this is very much a Hail Mary, and I keep repeating this because it's the only analogy I can come up with that really suits this situation. It is the last real legitimate effort to bring attention to what happened in those four states. The good thing that will come from this, the things that happened in those states that really questioned the integrity of the vote and put in jeopardy our faith in the electoral process in this country, I can assure you, based on what I'm seeing, Republicans will make it their personal agenda that will never happen again. With that said, if you do believe that there were irregularities that cost Trump the election, Democrats have essentially stolen an election. So there's obviously ramifications to that are very upsetting, but as a lawyer, this is a really interesting development in the U.S. Supreme Court. I look forward to listening to oral arguments, and I do believe this will proceed to oral arguments. Will it be successful? I don't know if there's appetite on the court to have a new Bush versus Gore moment, especially with Roberts on the court. I could see him voting with the liberal judges on this. With that said, we still have a conservative majority, so that wouldn't make a big of a difference. But is there appetite to make basically politicize the judicial branch in this way, especially with such a powder keg issue? I don't have the answer to that. I would love to hear the oral arguments. I would love to hear the questions from the justices. I think that will guide my understanding of what would happen next. But wow, somebody give 2020 a lollipop. Like, this has been a very, very topsy-turvy year. Twists and turns at every corner. So guys, keep following the story. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about this before the Christmas holidays. So thanks for appreciating the severity of this, because I think anybody who's even casually observing the news understands that this is really, really an important moment in our country's history. This has never happened before. We've never had a state or a collection of states suing another group of states and alleging that those states have essentially invalidated the plaintiff's votes. So very interesting time in our country, and definitely something to give us pause and something to get for to reflect on. But I know for a fact that this is really something that will go in the history books, and we're watching history unfold before us. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. Remember, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, along with every other place that you hear your podcast. We are everywhere, literally. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook, Right Owl Politics. So please follow us, subscribe, make sure you keep up with our latest episodes. And remember, we're not your dad's political news show, so if you have any friends or family that are looking for a new way to get their political news, send them our way. We're so happy with the reception that we've gotten on this platform this year. We are so proud of the work we're doing. We're so proud of your interest in us and very grateful. So thank you for making this show a success, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care, guys.